trade deadline for just about everybody. The Packers, the Ravens, the Seahawks not buying. The Cowboys, the Patriots, the Jets not selling. Let's start with the Packers. Matt LaFleur said, no conversation ever got serious and everybody's on the same page. Aaron Rodgers saying, I clearly understand my role and my place on this team, and that's my focus. We're going around the home today. Jackie McMullen, did the Packers need to make a move? Did they in any way fail Aaron Rodgers in your estimation?
Well, it's funny, Tony, when I heard those quotes from Aaron Rodgers, they were eerily familiar to some of the stuff that Tom Brady said last year in New England when things weren't always going exactly the way he wanted. Of course, Rodgers would like another weapon. And of course, Devontae Adams, who has 26% of their receptions on that team, would also like another weapon so he doesn't draw so much attention. But the Packers are a winning team, and the people everyone was targeting for them, Fuller, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2021. So maybe the Packers felt the price was a little too high for what could amount to be a rental. Mm-hmm.
But where Green Bay is today, opposed to maybe where they were 3 weeks ago when they were a team scoring points, undefeated, and really on the same page, did they need to make a move, Jackie?
I think they wanted to make. I don't know about need. That they feels. I think it would have behooved them to make a move. But to say like they were desperate to make a move, I don't think they fall into that category.
I'm moving for behooving. All right, Israel Gutierrez, let's go to you. Did the Packers need to make a move? Did they maybe fail Aaron Rodgers?
Did they need to make a move in order to win a championship this year? I don't think so. I don't think that Will Fuller would have been the difference between a Green Bay Super Bowl and them losing in the playoffs. However, it does still continue to frustrate you if you are a fan of the Packers or a fan of Aaron Rodgers, frankly, because you're just waiting for that time where they do sell out, where they do give up something, mortgage a little bit of the future for right now, because, I mean, you're just looking at his competition. Tom Brady already has 6 rings and he's getting everything he wants over in Tampa. We're going to be talking about Antonio Brown in a second. You know, you look at the situation, even when Tom Brady was in New England, they at least sold out once, right? And Bill Belichick is sitting here saying that they're proudly, hey, the last several years we sold out, and now look, we're in a tough situation now. We're waiting for Green Bay to do that because you only have Aaron Rodgers for so long. I understand sort of keeping your structure and everything else, but if you're not winning multiple championships with a guy of this caliber, then maybe you're doing something wrong.
That's the point, right? Whether it was fair initially that the toothpaste came out of the tube and whether people think the Packers are making enough moves for the prime and the end of the prime of Aaron Rodgers, whether it's fair or not that started, that conversation exists now. And the Packers have to move forward with that conversation being out there. So that's why I ask it in this way, Clinton Yates. I'd like to know your answer. Did the Packers fail Aaron Rodgers here? Do they need to make a move?
I think they've definitely failed Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know that that means that they need to make a move. I mean, the weird thing is that throughout his career, Rodgers has thrown one touchdown pass to a wide receiver drafted in the first round. Like, that's insane on just a larger level in terms of how you're constructing a roster. And if you think about that same aspect, Jordan Love picked in the first round quarterback. He's been active for 1 week this season. Like, what are you doing with your draft capital overall if that's how that's going to work? And that's what my concern is, and I think that's the tone that Aaron Rodgers has taken. It's like, okay, I got it. When you're in an argument and you've just decided that you've checked out because you don't like what they have to say, that's what that sounds like for me from Aaron, and that's not so good overall. But I still think this team is very good. They're not like the Bears or a complete joke at 5-3 or whatever.
All right. Well, thank you for just piling on Chicago. We'll get to them in a second. I mean, the fact remains is nobody really made a move. So maybe the Packers erred, or maybe there was just no moves to be made. I ask that because Baltimore also. You feel good about Baltimore. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. You have the reigning MVP. But you don't feel as good, maybe, if you're Baltimore, about this team right now than you did 3 weeks ago. So they failed to make a move. And in fairness, Israel, I'll ask it the same way. Do they need to make a move? Did they fail Lamar Jackson?
I think of this one a little bit differently. First of all, because it's not as long a period of time that you've had this quarterback that you can say, hey, we have failed you over the course of several years, okay? What happened with Baltimore is they changed their offense to accommodate Lamar Jackson and his skill set. But perhaps it became a little too run heavy, perhaps too run dependent. Perhaps that offensive line isn't a great pass blocking offensive line. And so it feels like they need to make tweaks in that offense first before they go ahead and say, all right, now we're going to surround them with receivers, because they don't seem to have that option very often of going deep.
I'm freaking for some tweaking here. That didn't come out right at all. Jackie McMullen, same question for Baltimore. I mean, do they need to make a move for a wide receiver? Same exact question. Did they fail Lamar Jackson here?
Again, fail is a strong word. Would it have helped Lamar Jackson, a young quarterback who's still learning, to have another weapon? Yes, but it's always risk and reward. The team, Tony, that should have made a move and didn't is the Seattle Seahawks. Mm. Do you realize they're on a historic pace right now to shatter the record for giving up the most total yards in an NFL season?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're wondering who had it before, it was the New Orleans Saints in 2012 at 7,043 yards. That's where the Seahawks are headed. If you want to look at someone that should have added something, maybe the Seahawks should have shored up their defense.
And you're talking about some help on the front four or front seven. You know, Jamal Adams hasn't played recently. He's going to help their back. Well, there you go then. And you know what? We use hard words here, Jackie Mack, because hard words aren't necessary in these days. Did the Seahawks fail, Clinton Yates? You want to answer Jackie's question?
Well, no, but I do want to get back to the Ravens, because when I looked at that roster this year, you could talk about what Mina Kimes calls the exotic run game of the Ravens or all the wideout options. But bottom line is that they traded Hayden Hurst, and their tight end is important. As evidenced on the last play against the Steelers, that's the kind of ball that goes to a tight end kind of security blanket. And he's not there. If there was a trade to be made, that would be the one. I don't think they failed him. I just think that it's a position that, with an upgrade, would overall make him generally more comfortable in the pocket in terms of where he has options to go to and throw. They didn't do it. So, alas.
All right. Well, Seahawks had their chance to re-sign Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't do that in the offseason. Maybe they were interested in Aldon Smith, but Dallas wasn't trading him. It's possible there were no trades to be made. Usually there aren't trades to be made in the NFL. The trade deadline in the NFL is not the NBA trade deadline. It's not Major League Baseball. Let's talk about the NBA right now. Shams Charania reporting that the Philadelphia 76ers might have some interest in acquiring James Harden. Let's talk about that. Let's dig deeper here. Not sure if you guys saw this. It was a story last week. Philadelphia brought in a new executive, Daryl Morey, the name. Previously worked with, checks notes, Houston with James Harden. For Harden to come, that would mean you would have to move somebody. Isn't that right, Jackie? Morey just said he wasn't moving Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. So what is this?
Listen, if I'm Daryl Morey, and I've already told you that that James Harden saved my career, of course I'm going to kick the tires on the car that I just traded in. I got a new car with two passengers, but I'm going to kick the tires. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say to you, hey, I got this guy. His name's Tobias Harris. He makes around $34.8 million, the highest paid player on the Sixers, by the way. Yeah. And he matches up close to James Harden's $38 million. If you don't go anywhere then I think the conversation gets less interesting. And you know what? I hate to do this to you, but this is a dead story, because if you're the Houston Rockets, you're not trading James Harden. If you're Rafael Stone and you just start as a GM there, your first official move is not going to be to trade your franchise player, who's one of the most gifted offensive players
we've ever seen. Well, maybe not for Tobias Harris, as you had just said, maybe for Simmons or Embiid. But let me put it to you this way, Jackie. You said, wouldn't you kick the tires? When you kick the tires, your old car doesn't go on Instagram Live and start to become jealous over how it's playing out publicly. And that's the risk here, maybe, with Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, don't you think?
Well, unless Daryl Morey's had private conversations with both, and I'm guessing that he has, who said, hey, I plan on keeping you guys. I'm going to build with you guys. I've seen the two of you work together before, and I think you can work together again. So it's easy to just say, oh, the media is making all this stuff up. That's the great line that GMs always use, whether it's true or not.
We've heard it before. Okay, so, Jackie, you don't think it's going to happen at all. I respect that. Clinton, I'll go to you, whether you think it's going to happen. But if it could happen, who would have to go? What's the better duo to go forward with if you have to split with Embiid and Simmons? Is it Simmons and Harden, or is it Embiid and Harden?
I'm giving up Simmons first. I just think that the combination of Harden and Embiid is just has a higher ceiling overall than the other two or whatever those other combos
really
be. I mean, the net efficiency together on the court of Simmons and Embiid has gone down the last 3 years. So it's not like this is lighting the world on fire. But overall, the sell for the Rockets is simply that you just try to convince people that Harden's best days are behind him. And that may or may not be true, but I think that that's the only reasonable thing that you can say is that, all right, if we can stockpile a bunch of picks because we have none, well then, all right, great. You're building something for the future because this combination obviously isn't working. And I could reasonably buy that, but I also, you know, root for the Wizards, so what do I know? But I'm just saying,
all right, there's a mute. You're done now. So you would say Harden and Embiid would be the better duo of all the possible options. I wonder how that even works with Daryl Morey, you know? I mean, Embiid shoots the three, yes, but I mean, he's a big that's a little bit different than the last 10 years of bigs we've seen with Morey. And Israel, where are you on this?
I mean, to Jackie's conversation about Tobias Harris and Al Horford, if you can somehow get James Harden and only give up those two guys with those terrible contracts, I mean, Daryl Morey is challenging Jordan Belfort for, like, the best salesman I've ever heard of before. So I don't think that's going to happen. In terms of the pairings, I do think that Ben Simmons is basically the biggest problem. Wherever you put him, whether it be with another heavy ball handler like James Harden or with the guy who works in the post like Joel Embiid or maybe even a Russell Westbrook as a point guard, you're still having the issue of him not being able to shoot. So it just always feels like an easier combination to go Harden and Embiid or to go even Harden and Ben Simmons and maybe play Ben Simmons as like a point power forward or something and try to mix that up. But when you look at Doc Rivers and the way he took, the reason he took over that team was largely, I would think, because of Joel Embiid. So I would think of the two, the one to give up would be Ben Simmons if he could make that work.
Ms. Molly, you want a last word, please?
I do. The one thing you guys have to remember is everybody's hung up on Daryl Morey's idea of shooting threes. Remember the other part, shooting threes and getting layups at the rim. Who goes downhill better and more effectively in the open court than Ben Simmons? Don't forget that.
Good point.
James Harden, good point.
It'll be the last point for us right now. Taking a break, coming up, buy or sell. Antonio Brown has been activated by Tampa. How that's going over with his roommate. Talking about yourself. Not talking about Brady. And also the Ben DiNucci, the Ben DiNucci era over in Dallas. When I was a boy, my nickname was Antonucci. Antonucci means little
Antonucci
in a Navidan dialect.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
35, please. Bruce Arians talking about Rudolph on Christmas Eve. No, no, no. He's talking about Antonio Brown Sunday night versus the Saints. It's the red that really brings out the Santa, you know? Israel, expectations for Brown in this key matchup versus New Orleans, and where do the targets come down? When you're talking about Evans and Godwin, who's up in the air playing this week, and Gronk and Brown. Go ahead, Gutierrez.
I mean, I think it's just going to be a treasure of riches. Like, it's going to be wherever they want to go. And you've noticed that Tom Brady's been really trying to get a connection with Mike Evans. He really has one at the end zone anyway. I think that's going to try to continue. I think you just fit Antonio Brown in. As many as people, you know, people want to believe he's humbled or what have you, well, if he comes in and doesn't make a stink about not getting the ball and just plays, you know, to his ability, then I think everybody's going to eat and I think everybody will be fine.
Okay. Scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla. Very easy. Just drop in Antonio Brown. Clinton Yates, it doesn't seem to jive with you.
I don't think this week you're going to see the highest number of targets. I think there's something to be said for the fact that, yeah, bro, you've been out of the league for a while. You can deal with it if we're not going to you as per the embarrassment of riches that we have otherwise. So I see this being around 5 in terms of targets for AB.
You know, we talk about Brady and Brown together like they have some incredible chemistry and history. Right. They're living together for short periods of time. They played one game together, Jackie.
Right, but Tom Brady knows a Hall of Fame caliber receiver when he sees one, and that's what Antonio Brown is, all withstanding all the stuff off the field. And you know what else? Antonio Brown doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't drop catches. He pulls them in and usually takes him down the field for a touchdown. So no wonder Tom Brady is salivating over having him back on the field.
Rob Gronkowski, also Hall of Fame headed, and Mike Evans, a very strong start to his career as well. There's only one ball.
A lot of
weapons. We'll move on. Why did I hold up two fingers when I said one ball? There's only one ball. Buy or sell two. The Cowboys did not sell off at the trade deadline, refused to deal Alden Smith or any of their wide receivers. No, maybe they weren't even putting them out there. Starting quarterback this week is between Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush. So considering all that, Jerry Jones says no to a question about whether they are tanking. But yes, he can see us looking at younger guys. Clinton, what are the Cowboys doing and what should the Cowboys do?
What the Cowboys are doing is once again trying to insult our intelligence. We know what's going on. Y'all are terrible. You lost to the Washington football team. DiNucci, Squaducci is who that guy is, and then you got a bunch of other dudes who nobody's ever heard of. Like, come on, you need a better quarterback. Sorry, you got to lose some games. That's how it
works. I want to defend DiNucci, and he had that great sidearm throw, but that was
cool.
Incredible line. Incredible line
down.
From
you know
Glenn Yates. Jackie Mack, what are the Cowboys doing? What should they be doing?
Well, I felt bad for DiNucci, man, getting thrown into that
situation.
So I don't think it's the worst thing to go on to a different quarterback that has maybe a tiny bit more experience. I actually was interested by some of the comments Jerry Jones made, and he's right about one thing. When you tank, usually it's done before the season starts. You build a team that isn't that good, and you tell them to play as hard as they can, knowing they can't beat anybody. That's not what's going on with Dallas here. But if they want to take a look at young players, get them extra snaps during a lost year, I don't see why anyone should criticize them for
Israel,
that.
How about you?
Well, the first step in tanking is telling the world that you're not tanking and there is no good reason to be tanking. And so this is exactly what he's doing. But I believe in the NFL, there isn't really that much incentive to tank because the sure things at the top of the draft, I mean, how often do they come along and how often are you certain to get that number one pick and to have that worst record because you might accidentally win a game or two in this terrible division of yours. So it behooves him to say, hey, we're not tanking because they could even mess that up.
Buy or sell three, the Chicago Bears. They were 3-0 with Mitchell Trubisky. They're 2-3 since going to Nick Foles. Sunday's game with Foles was a roller coaster. Instead of oohs and ahs, it was more ahs and ees. Jackie, can you see Matt Nagy going back to Trubisky?
Well, you know, the funny thing about this to me is all the people that are now clamoring for Trubisky were the same people that were clamoring for him to get benched before. Mm-hmm. It's incredible to me. And maybe there's a problem elsewhere with play calling and some of the personnel or what have you. I will say this, that offensive line is really beat up. Talk about a team that probably should have done something at the deadline, by the way, to help that offensive line. And Trubisky's a little more mobile than Foles is trying to escape from that. So maybe it does make sense.
Israel Gutierrez?
It's a lost year either way.
He's significantly more mobile, and that's reason enough, right? You tried the Foles situation. You tried to, hey, let's try to redo Philadelphia of a couple of years ago. It's clearly not working. And if you're looking at a guy who has similar abilities as a Trubisky, but Trubisky has that one extra element, then you just do it. Try to bring this offense into something in the top half, something that's decent, because right now it just looks awful. And I think Matt Nagy does have a lot of explaining to do, and that offense does as well. But I think right now Trubisky seems like the best option.
Clinton Yates.
This is exactly what I was afraid of a month ago when I said, if you pull this guy now, you get back to being the Bears and the carousel starts all over with. However, I do think it makes more sense to go back to Trubisky. The only reason why it's really that awkward is because when they pulled Mitch, they did it mid-game. If they had just started Foles the next game, this would be like, okay, this isn't working, we're going back. That's the only reason it's really that weird.
And you remember a team, really, I mean, they're in playoff position right now, really be between two quarterbacks? You know, in the way that they are, weren't the Buffalo Bills maybe, Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie, Washington, back a long time ago, Clinton, when you were growing up, Jay Schrader and Doug Williams, maybe?
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's weird, definitely weird.
Ah, Israel Gutierrez. Well, if you got three panelists, you got none. So we're going to go back to two panelists.
My own.
Around the home, and you're staying at home. Showdown next in 2 minutes. Jackie, Clinton.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Clint Yates, good luck in showdown. Two things from Jets GM Joe Douglas after a quiet trade deadline from them. He said, one, this is not all on Adam Gase. And he said, B, Sam Darnold is the quarterback of the future. Clinton, how much of that is GM speak? And Clinton, how much of that is GM speak?
Well, it's all GM speak, but there's only one goal that I care about for the New York football Jets. The holy grail of 0-16. You can get there. You're halfway
That's the
there.
Goal.
Keep it up, guys. Uh-huh.
And Jackie?
Jeez. Well, of course, there was a lot of GM speak in there, but you know what else Douglas said? He said he regrets letting Robbie Anderson go in free agency. They've gone three games without a passing touchdown. Yeah. That was some good honesty.
I love the way you called him Douglas, because it's like you're reprimanding your son, Doug, who you call Douglas,
perhaps,
of course. But he's just Doug. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown 2, news from Clemson. Trevor Lawrence will be on the sideline Saturday versus Notre Dame. He won't play because of the COVID pause that he's on because he needs cardiovascular tests. But if he's feeling well and is now COVID-free, he'll be on the sidelines. How does that strike you, Jackie?
Strikes me as a very good idea. You have a young freshman, DJ, whose name I'm not going to try to say because I'll blow it. And he could use a little advice from a veteran who is not threatened by his job, just there to help the young kid. Good for Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Glenn?
Are you kidding me? There's only one thing that matters here. We get unencumbered vision of Trevor Lawrence's hair on a sideline without a helmet for a whole game. That's what I'm tuning in for. That guy's got professional flow. Never mind ability to throw a football.
As long as he's feeling well and he is COVID-free, it's great. I want to have these moments with his team regardless. Clinton Yates, from wire to wire today, the win, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
You know, yesterday was election day here in America, and you can say what you want about different candidates. That's not what we're here to talk about. But the get out to vote effort is something that we've seen the sports world do very well in. And in Kansas City, Pat Mahomes asked the team to make Arrowhead Field a voting site for different people to be able to show up. They didn't allow it because the board election said there were not enough voting machines. Well, guess what? He came out of pocket with the Chiefs to make sure that some voting machines were available for people to be able to vote. Good move out of you, Pat. Not just an MVP, also solid citizen.
Well done, Pat. One more word from here. I know it's an incredibly important, dramatic day in the country. It's almost odd for us to say this now, but it is our 18th anniversary of Around the Horn today. We are now 18 years old. We're now old enough to vote a day late. You see us every day. Jackie, you've been with us from the start. You see Clinton, you see Israel, you see everybody every day. But to Aaron Solomon and Josh Bard, our producers, Miriam Leger and John Dursey, our directors, and of course, Jeff Weiner, Carolyn Wilt, Barbara Albert, and everyone else, thank you.
Happy Hour is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly.